Good morning to the crowd that can handle losing an hour, right? I don't know if I can handle it. What? We gained one? Is this where people get mad that they work the all-night shift and they think that the company stole an hour from them, or is it the next spring? All right. John 3:16 says, what? Week. John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. That was in King James, and that was in New International Version, and all kinds of them. All right. So I listened to Audio Bible I have started this, and I'm on my second year of listening to Audio Bible clear through. And so each day I have a whatever. And it can get real monotonous in like Chronicles and Leviticus. But I'll be listening and I'll be working or driving or something, and all of a sudden like something will just pop out at me. And so how many of you know the story of the brazen serpent where Moses had he put the serpent on the pole, and he held it up. So I'm listening to Kings, and it goes along, and it says that King Josiah, I might have the wrong king, but he was tearing down. It goes back to Michael's high places where sermon, where they were tearing down all the stuff, and it says he had to get rid of he had to destroy the brazen serpent that Moses made because they were sacrificing to it, and they were making... They were praying to it, and they were making sacrifices to it. So the very thing that God used, and we'll talk about that story here in a minute, the very thing God used, they took the thing that God used, and they started worshiping the thing instead of God. And so that, and when that came, that's kind of where I was going through and just listening, and I heard that. And so this was several weeks ago, I heard that, and I started really thinking about that serpent and that story. And so Nick and I were out doing our thing, and he had to go to a business deal. He was supposed to preach this morning, and so last minute, I got subpoenaed to preach. So this is what, as soon as I got in the truck and got alone with the Lord, I'm like, what are we talking about? And I knew that I was going to talk about the brazen serpent, okay? And so in the story of this brazen serpent, we'll go there. So you can turn your Bibles right now to Numbers 21. I knew that this was going to be the subject, but I very honestly knew very, very little about the subject. Knew very little about the background of where and why and how. So as I started researching and listening to stuff and putting stuff together, I started to understand that there's a lot of depth here, and I will not do it justice because I've only been thinking about it for the last 24 hours. And so I believe that there's some really, really good stuff here. So let's go to Numbers chapter 21. Okay. I said 21, didn't I? We've talked about this. You don't listen. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Numbers 21, verse 1. When the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in Negev, heard that Israel was coming along the road to Anthurium to attack the Israelites and capture some of them, he captured some of them. Then Israel made a vow to the Lord, "If you will deliver this people into my hands, we will totally destroy their cities." The Lord listened to Israel's plea and gave the Canaanites over to them, and they completely destroyed them and their towns, and so the places were named Hormah. So, little context here, a king attacked them, took some of their people, and then they prayed to God, said, "Can we go attack them?" And God goes and delivers these people who attacked them back into their hands, okay? So God, big win. This is a God win. This is a we need you, we pray, he answers the prayer, okay? So then, next verse. They travel from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food, the manna. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, and we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And when anyone was bitten by a snake, they looked at the bronze snake and they lived. That's extreme. That's an extreme story. So let's recap here a little bit. So the people are going through the wilderness. They have to go around Edom. And they don't want to go around Edom. They want to go through Edom. So that's what the context is. This is what sets them off. Says they were supposed to go around Edom, probably because they were going to be problems if they go through. So they got to go the long way. They got to go around Edom. And they're mad about that. So they blow a cork. And they start doing what? Complaining. Complaining about the provision that God had provided for them. First of all, He just delivered them. They just prayed. They just got an answer, and God just delivered them, and then the next day they're out going around here, and He's like, "Hey, I want you to go around this town." They're like, "We don't want to go around that town. We want to go through that town. Why do we got to go around the town?" And He's like, "What's going on?" So as they start complaining, and so they blow a cork. Like, "What'd you do? You bring us out here to die? Did you bring us out here that we could starve this? There's no food. There's no water. And by the way, the manna, it sucks. We don't like it. It's yucky. We're sick of it. We're tired of it. We've baked it. We've fried it. We've breaded it. We don't like it." Okay? So what'd God do? He let venomous snakes loose, and they came and started biting them. And they died. People died from these snake bites. And the people realized, we might have stepped over a line here. They understood that they understood that the complaining and the attitude of their hearts was the reason that the snakes came. Okay? And they realized that God was the one that sent the snakes. And then they realized that they needed somebody to stop the snakes. So they repented. And they said, "We're sorry." And they went to Moses and said, "Moses, please pray to God to tell him to take the snakes away." So what does God do? Does He take snakes away? No. People still got bit after that prayer. But Moses had instruction to do something. What was it? He was to take a snake and put it on a pole and then dip it in bronze, or like make a bronze image of a snake and then hold it up. And then if you got bit by a snake, you were to come and look at it. And if you were to look at it, you'd be saved. You would not die. Is that crazy or what? So isn't the snakes the ones biting them? And then we make an image of a snake. And then we look at the image of the snake. And then by looking at the image of the snake, we get away from the wrath of the biting of the snake. Like, what's going on here? Like, if I read this story and didn't know Christianity, I'd be like, that's like paganism. That's like crazy stuff. Like, it's off the cuff here. That's not normal. Like, this story's not normal. Agreed? Like, the whole thing is a little bit crazy. What does that have to do with John 3:16? So John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How many of you know that this is very connected to the story that I just got done talking about? Does anybody have any idea what John 3:14 says? That's the next verse. That's your after. John 3:14. Yes. John 3:14 says this. Hold on. I'm going to go there. John 3. This may shock some of you. Some of you it may not. If I can get there, I'll try to shock you. Okay, you're there? You been here, David? Sorry, David. Sorry I'm not keeping up with you. All right, John 3:14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just like the serpent that was lifted up on the pole, this is Jesus talking. Jesus said, hey, that story about the snake in the Old Testament, just like that, is just like me. This isn't somebody else saying that, it's Jesus saying. Just like that snake was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus is comparing himself to a snake on a pole. I can't square that. How in the world? So what's the similarities? The similarities are Jesus is on a cross, the snake's on a pole, they're lifted up where everybody can see them, and what happens? What happens when they're lifted up? Lives are saved. People get saved. These people are dying of a snake bite. Okay? If they look at the pole, then they get saved. Jesus is on the cross, and he's saving people from something they're dying of. Okay? So I'm looking at this and going, okay, I still can't square why. How is Jesus comparing himself to a snake? How does that... It doesn't like, so the snake's what bit you. So the thing that is killing you is on that stick. And that's the answer to fixing it. Isn't the snake the thing that bit me? And now I'm looking at a snake for salvation from the snake. How does that relate to Jesus? Is Jesus the reason I'm dying and going to hell? How is he on the cross? How does this work? Like I can't figure it out. And then I figured it out by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. The snake that bit us was killing us. Okay? So the venom from the snake that bit the people was killing them. So the snake on the cross saved them. What's killing us? Sin is killing us. So he became sin. On the cross, he became sin. The very thing that's killing us is the very thing he dealt with. He became sin for us, and we got an exchange when that happened. What was the exchange? What did that just say? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. He became sin on the cross. And when he did, we became righteous. What does righteous mean? In right standing. In perfect right standing with God. So Jesus, before he takes on sin, can you be in more right, can you be in more righteous position with God? Is there anything more righteous than Jesus and the sacrifice that he was making in the moment? And he said, I'm going to take what you are and have done, and I'm going to take that on me, and I'm going to give you this. It's pretty awesome. All right. Complaining. So, Lainey's going to come up here and talk about complaining. It's a joke. It's an inside joke at work. So, Lainey doesn't complain. She doesn't talk, let alone complain. So, I want to talk about this complaining. Complaining is obviously it's tied very closely here to snake bitten. So when a snake bites you, obviously the snake that was biting people wasn't killing them instantly, was it? There was a process. Snake bites you, poison goes into you, starts attacking your body, you start getting sick. But there was obviously time to go look at the bronze snake. Like, I don't know how much time. I don't know if it was 10 minutes. I don't know how venomous the snake was. But I will say this, that there was time. So, but the cause of the bitten snake was complaining. Who in here has never complained? I can show hands. We only have one. And I'm going to complain about her. Okay. So no human is exempt from complaining, are we? We can all find stuff to complain about. And it's really the human condition, is it not? It's not that these people are worse than we are. We're all complainers. People complain. Like, that's what we do. We get up every day and we find what's wrong with the world and we complain about it. Like, we guaranteed the human condition is to find more to complain about than to be thankful about. Now think about all the scriptures that entering his gates with thanksgiving, entering his courts with praise. All of the Bible that tells us to be thankful, which would be the opposite of complaining, right? To be grateful for something. Okay? All of that is telling us to be thankful for something because our nature is not to be that. If the Bible is telling you to do something, it's probably because you're not naturally going to do it. Does that make sense? If there's a charge to tell you to do something, it's probably because you need told to do it because you're not just going to do it. Because we're complainers. We are these people. It sounds bad, but we are these people. We're complainers. And complaining is like being bitten by a snake. When you start complaining, the poison gets in you. And it starts killing you. It starts killing your spirit. It starts killing. Because now you can't become what all you're supposed to be because you're worried about what's wrong instead of what's to be thankful for. So that led me to this question. As I thought about this, is it possible to not like something but not be ungrateful? So there's we're gonna work this out. So can I still be grateful but not like it? And the answer is yes. I cannot like what's going on in my life but still be grateful for what I have. I may not like a certain food, but if I was dying and it was the only thing that I had, I'd be grateful that I had food. But I might not like it. Okay. Well, so it becomes down to an attitude of the heart. Hey, I don't want to go through Edom. I want to go through Edom. I don't want to go around Edom. And by the way, why I don't want to go around there? I got some other things I don't like. I don't like not having food. I don't like not having water. And I don't like the food you're giving us. Different attitude. There's a posture of a heart there, is there not? Is there something different there than, hey, God, I don't like the manna anymore, but I'm happy that you're giving us something. I'm not trying to be ungrateful. I'm just tired of it. Like, it's all we have. Do you know that that's what God wants? Did you know that that facilitates a relationship where a human has a problem and God has an answer, and the relationship between you and him says, hey, I got something for you. Have you ever heard of jelly? Put that on there. Oh, the God of jelly, with First Jelly Church of God. Okay? God wants to have a platform to commune with us. He wants to know what you like, what you don't like. It's a relationship. Mindy and I are sharing things that we like and don't like with each other. It's a relationship. And we're working those things out. So so I started going back to this. So let me throw this at you. So Adam's in the garden. He's naming the animals. He gets done, and God looks at him and says, ooh, it's not good. Not good. Hold on a minute. Time out. The sun, he makes the sun, it's good. He makes the land, it's good. He makes the water, it's good. It's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. He makes all this stuff. He gets to Adam, he gets done, he throws him in there, and he lets him work for a little bit. It's not good. Hey, newsflash, God, you made him. You made him. What? Wait, how unprecedented is this? That's not good. Well, you made him. You made the cake that now you don't like. Do you think that that was a newsflash to God, that it wasn't good after he got to watch Adam? Do you think he just learned that by watching Adam? No. He knew it wasn't good. He knew it wasn't good when he formed him in the dirt. So why would he go through with it? Why would he let that happen? There's a couple reasons that I come up with. Number one, Adam was made in whose image? God's. Okay? What was not good about Adam? What was the thing that wasn't good? Wasn't good for him to be alone. He looked through all the animals, and there was not one found that he could relate to. There wasn't one found. Guess what? That means he was looking. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't happy. He didn't like what he was finding. It wasn't that he wasn't ungrateful. He didn't have a bad attitude. He just didn't. There was something wrong. And Adam didn't know what was wrong, but he was looking for what was right. And it's the giraffe, and it's the porcupine, and it's the steer, and it's the deer, and the deer was close, but he kept moving. Okay? And he gets to the end, and it says there wasn't one found. And God says, it's not good. It's not good for him to be alone. How does God know that it's not good for him to be alone? He knows how it's not good for him to be alone because he's created in his image. And if it ain't good for him to be alone, it isn't good for God to be alone, which is the whole purpose for this whole experiment, is that God is good and he has all this great goodness and he has nothing to give it to. Therefore, a being that is full of love and goodness that is alone is a prison to itself. And so people say, well, there's nothing wrong with God. He's perfect. He is perfect. But he has a limfac, if you want to call it that, a limiting factor. If he doesn't have anything to express his goodness to, he's not good to himself. He says, it's not that he's not good. He said, that's not good. It's not good. I got to give this to something. I have to give it to something. It's not good for Adam to be alone. So I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make woman. He allowed man to experience the why, the not good. And there are times in our life where we are experiencing the not good because God is allowing us to experience the not good so that he can bring the fix. Because if there is no contrast to cold, you don't know how to appreciate hot. And if there's no hot, you don't know how to appreciate cold. And this system, as far as I'm concerned, I don't like it that much, okay? But there are times that I need to have a problem so that I can go to my big God and get the big answer for it. Because that's how you get to work out with him. That's how you get to know him. That's the system that's in place. Does that make sense? It's pretty awesome. Both things saved life. When they looked at it, there was healing for their snake bite. But Jesus' life saving was different. It was beyond just physical healing, physical wellness, saving. So I love how this just moves on. So let's go back to John 3:16. Okay, I say John 3:14. And let's read this again in this light. Now we've educated ourselves on the story of the servant, let's just read this again. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. When does eternal life start? When's eternal life start? What is eternal life? So Jesus says in... Yeah, John 17. Go to John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who you have sent. When Jesus hung on that cross, he made something possible. You were snake bitten by sin, and you were dying. Okay? He became sin on that cross. And when he came off that cross, he facilitated something. He facilitated a relationship with the Father and him where you become one. You become with one with the eternal being. Eternity starts when you know God and you know him through Jesus. He is the eternal one. And to know God is to be in eternity. Matter of fact, it is hell is the opposite. You don't want love? Okay. You don't want light? Okay. You don't want goodness? Okay. You name it. Kindness? You don't want things, you don't like no tears? You don't want joy? You don't want peace? You don't want that? Fine. Because that's what you're saying when you say, I don't want God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in those things because he is those things. And he's saying that this is what eternity looks like. I am eternal. I am eternity. And I am opening this up for you to become one with me and be in commune with me, to be in community with me so that we are one. So eternity actually starts when you know God. Stand, please. We're a complaining people. And we're not fixing complaining by preaching about it, guilt tripping you about it. It's understanding that how the kingdom of God works, how it grieves the Holy Spirit. When it's not, I want to draw the line here. There are things that we all have in our life that we don't like, okay? There's a line of being ungrateful for the things that we do have because of the things we don't like. In my life, I will compartmentalize to the best of my ability going forward. Do I not like something that might have purpose from God in my life? Should I be taking the things that I don't like and laying them on the throne room of God and saying, God, tell me, does this have purpose? What is this? How can I change this? This is what he wants. There's another bad thing that people do. When times are good, we forget God. I watch it happen in my own life. When I'm not stressed, when things are going really well, I'm not as intense in my relationship with God. That's not an accident. And so the more mature we get, the more we can stay engaged with God without trouble, without snakes. I'm sure that everybody in here has a place in your life where you're snake bitten and you want to complain about it. And it stinks. And yet God is saying, I got you the answer. And he's on a pole, but he's not on there anymore. He's sitting right here beside me and he's on your team and he makes your request known to me. Lord, help us to be grateful for what you've done, what you do. Lord, we ask that the trouble in our life would draw us to you to get the answers that you have for us, Lord, and to take us deeper into you and your relationship. We thank you and praise you for it. Go with us this week, as we know you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Dismissed.